Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 507. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how. At the end of the program, please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. So I have some Bible reading for you today. I've got letters. I, of course, expound on the scriptures, and we have some beautiful music. We have one here by the... I've never heard anyone execute a song as greatly as with O Holy Night as Mariah Carey. Our music director is her on-the-road leader of music. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, to anoint this service. Father, we thank your holy name because we are able to communicate with you. Without communication with you, Father, it would be absolutely impossible to be able to get through this life fully as you would like us to. Anyone that has communion with you, it is for this reason that you want them to hear what you're saying so they can do what he is telling you to do. Lord, you want to tell us what to do so that people can see that the things that we're doing absolutely are of the Lord, because you never tell anyone to do anything that that people would not be able to see you involved in it. They know that whoever you're instructing, that they're of the Lord. And therefore, they have no excuse at the great white throne, the judgment bar of God. And the people that do what you say, they will not go before the judgment bar of God. They will go before the mercy seat of Christ. And Lord, one of the things that you really have me doing is telling people of the heresy every time, almost every time, I would say, to make it to where some people that are preaching the true word will not think that I'm referring to them, but almost every time I turn on the television, I see such heresy, and it's just out and out totally against your word. But Lord, I ask that you anoint and tell me everything that you want for people to hear so that they can receive it or reject it. If they receive it, then, of course, they go to heaven. Those who believe will receive, and they will do what you say. But those that don't believe, they will not receive, and they will not do what you say. And therefore, their souls will spend eternity miserably in the lake of fire, whether they be weeping, wailing, grinding on their teeth, chewing on their tongue, screaming their heads off, and it never ends forever and ever and ever. Lord, I thank you for hearing me, and I thank you now, Lord, for giving me the words to say on this program that souls may be saved, to glorify not me, Lord, but you, because I've told everybody that it's you speaking through me. Let them receive that they may live. Let them believe that, so that they're not damned. Those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. Lord, I pray that the souls will be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here she is. This is the best I've ever heard the O Holy Night song by, it's Mariah Carey.
Long lay the world
and the soul felt it worth the thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices for yonder break, a new and glorious morn.
God really gave her a money maker, that voice, amen?
Amen.
My Lord. Woo! That's too much. You know, the H.B. Barnum, who is her our musical director, and he also directs her, was on tour, and she was in Japan, and a bunch of very wealthy businessmen there told that if she'd just come and do a half hour or an hour singing for them, just a private little party of maybe 10 or 20 Japanese industrialists, that they'd give her $1 million cash, plus pay for her whole orchestra and band and everything. I mean, tax-free. I mean, they'd give it to her. And even if there was taxes to be paid on it, they'd pay the taxes. And HB started laughing. He said, she told me, I'm too tired. He says, I lost a bundle of money on that one. And she's just independently wealthy, I guess, to have done something like that. But she never should get puffed up about the voice, because she wouldn't have it if the Lord hadn't given it to her. Amen?
Amen.
And all of us that have great gifts from the Lord should not be puffed up over it, because, you know, God could have given the gift that he gave us to somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
There's only one singer that I can think of that is her equal, and that's Kim Morrison, who sang with me on an album of love songs around 22 years ago. She definitely can do that and hits notes that are, sound like a whistle. And even more impressive to me than Mariah Carey, but I've never heard Kim Morrison sing Oh Holy Night before. I'm sure she could tear it up as well. But what a nice arrangement, and what a fantastic performance by Mariah Carey. She ought to just thank the Lord every day for that voice. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we have some letters. What do you have there? The first one?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, your literature carries out the true plan of salvation. I was given a copy from my friend, and I was pleased to have your address so that even I can be able to have more literature from you to share with others. Because of the great words of inspiration from the Holy Bible in your literature and your Messiah book. I thank God that when I read your book, God himself brought me into the right way of peace and eternal life. Only God is able to reward you for being a true servant of God, doing his work of winning souls from the world to the kingdom of God and our Lord Jesus, and providing their Christian needs to show them the way to heaven. Like the Bibles, which is the weapon of Christians, and the literature, which is changing people's lives all over the world. God bless you. May the Lord our God fill you with all his blessings. May the peace of our Lord be with you and your spirit. Thank you for your anointed ministry, which reaches many countries in this world. Hope to hear from you soon. God bless you. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, Sylvia from Kantanchi, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. I didn't mean any ill will towards Mariah Carey. I didn't believe that she is a person that doesn't thank and praise the Lord for what he's given her. Otherwise, she would have been shipwrecked a long time ago. And she's been gone for quite a few years now, from what I understand. She seems to be a very humble person and is very grateful for what she has. And she really knows how to use it. On the other hand, you know, this other singer, Kim Morrison, she's sort of wild, and she needs to have more control over her emotions and so on. All right? And then I think she would very easily be able to compete with Mariah Carey if she would just, you know, praise and thank the Lord for what she has. All right, now you have another letter?
Yes.
Who's this one from?
El Salvador, Central America.
Okay, is it a person, or it was El Salvador, the country that sent it to me?
It's a person.
If it was the country, I'm going to be very, highly exalted here. No, it's from a person?
Yes, from Cecilia.
Cecilia, okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, I praise God for providing us with literature from your ministry. Many blessings to all those who make this work of love possible. We pray that souls worldwide will receive the seed of the gospel through your literature. I can truly see his word coming to pass, which says that his word does not return void. We sincerely wish to continue to serve God through you providing us with the literature so we can continue to sow the seed of the gospel. Signed, Cecilia from El Salvador, Central America.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that are disappointed with me. I'd like to say also that I'm very disappointed with myself at some times, because I have, years ago when I was at first in the ministry, I did a lot of things that disappointed God, and he put me on fasts, and he, so to speak, took me to the woodshed and beat that out of me. And you know, and everyone disappoints everybody at one time or another. And I've even been disappointed at myself, okay, because I did things that when I found out that it was wrong and the Lord rebuked me and reproved me for and disciplined me for it, He actually set up many circumstances that I didn't really like at all. But I didn't leave the body of Christ because I realized that I was wrong and that I had a viable point, a very important part in the body of Christ. And if everybody knew the scriptures the way that I do, they would know that they have a very important part in the body of Christ. A lot of people, they're in the church, but they don't do any work whatsoever. And the Lord called us not to sit on our rear ends or in the pew, but he called us into the ministry to do good works, not good sitting or spacing out or listening to Satan or anything like that, or not to be so disappointed that you leave the ministry wherein you were called and leave the position that the Lord had given you in the ministry that you were originally in, if you found it to be a deficient ministry, if people were unscriptural. But I'm not unscriptural, and I'm disappointed in them, but they are the ones that are going to have to pay for it. They may try at the judgment bar of God to place the blame on myself, but I never left my position, no matter how much they disappointed me. So even though I have no doubt offended or disappointed lots of people, we need to worry about offending the Lord, because the body of Christ is a body of people, and each position in the body of Christ is an important part that needs to help nourish the body that is joined together by sinew and by joints and with marrow and all the other things that are in a body. And so when people leave their position, that leaves the position open, and it actually causes more hardship on the body of Christ. And so this they will be judged for at the judgment bar of God. Now, everybody disappointed the Lord Jesus Christ, but he never left his post or cried about the disappointments that he had. Everybody on earth, even Peter and the disciples, left him. They didn't pray for him, and they the time that he was at judgment, they fled. They hid themselves behind the doors. They lost faith. There was no faith there any longer. But that's the only way that a person would leave their position in the body of Christ, would be as if they've lost faith. In other words, they're backslidden. They're not really of the Lord any longer. They took off. They left their position that was very important in the body of Christ for them to hold, because nobody else in the body of Christ is able to take their place. And God put the body together for a purpose, and that was for us to do good works. He called us to do good works. Amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus never left, even though he was disappointed with the secular world and with his own people. They let him down, the secular world. They crucified him to the cross, and his own people fled. And they denied him thrice before the rooster crowed twice. All right, so we have to remember that if we leave the place that God called us into, then we're disobedient to his word. And if we're disobedient to his word, and we're not living the life of Christ, because again, Christ never disappointed God. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased," because he never fell back. Nothing offended him. Nothing disappointed him. He, of course, was disappointed because he wasn't a nudnik. He was God with the most powerful mind that could ever be experienced. He was the uncreated spirit of God that created all things, and he's powerful. And if he's in a person, They actually have the power to do what he's instructed them to do, but they decide that, I don't like this job. I don't like where God put me. I don't like this. I don't like that. This person offends me. Of course, I've sinned, and I'm a pastor, and I'm supposed to rebuke people, and I'm not. And they don't like being rebuked. They don't like me doing my job. They don't like being reproved. They get very easily bored. They don't read the Word as the Lord tells them to do and to praise and thank the Lord, but they're listening to, many of them listen to Satan all day long and all night long, every waking hour. And so if a person leaves the position where the Lord put them, some people have been put in the kitchen, and they don't like it. Now, people, great Christians, like Stephen, didn't mind that spot at all. He, wherever the Lord placed him, he just figured, this is my place in the body of Christ. And therefore, I'm not going to murmur and complain about it. I'm not going to ask for a transfer. I'm not going to ask to be replaced or else I am leaving. I'm not going to be a two-faced double-crosser, a person that raises themselves up. Because in their mind, they don't know the Scriptures well enough. And when they're told the Scriptures, they don't want to receive them as they are. You hear people all the time talking about different scriptures in the Bible that it's satanic when the Lord says it's fine. When the Lord says it's not satanic, it's people being obedient to His Word. And so people leave the church because they don't believe the Word of God, even though it's in the Word of God, and even though all the major patriarchs of the Bible did certain things that people don't approve of. So they say that the Word of God is not true and that it is evil, really. And so therefore they're going to be judged for this at the judgment bar of God. They wanted some kind of an excuse to leave the position that the Lord put them in so that they could, because it just warred against them. It wasn't something that they liked. Well, let me remind you something that, the Lord never left a position. He said he despised the shame of the cross, but he still went there. And the Bible says that we're supposed to be like Christ, not murmuring or complaining about the position that he put us in the body of Christ, but that we will help the body by the Spirit of God in us to do the works, the good works that Christ called us to do. And too many people murmur because they can't have their way. But we're supposed to, our will must be nailed to the cross of Christ. It's not our will that we've been called to do, because you were doing and I was doing my own will. But when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I came into the body of Christ to do the Lord's will. Even the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Didn't he?
Amen.
All right, so this is the place where many people find themselves. They rejoiced at first in regard to the that they feel the Spirit of God, they feel the eternal life in them. And then they decide to begin doing their own thing. Oh, yes, Lord, your will be done. I will do thy will. And they sing, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And yet they don't like God's will to be done. They leave the body of Christ, and they still think that they're saved because they move to another church where they don't really have to do what the Lord said for them to do, because the pastor may not be that spiritual to be able to know that they're out of order. And so therefore they're in a backslidden state. And the Bible says that he will blot their names out of the Lamb's Book of Life because they're not doing good works. What they've done is crippled the church that they left. The place where they originally were full of zeal and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and they left that part of the church to go somewhere else where there be nothing demanded of them. But the Lord demands people to be obedient in everything, in all things. So anyway, God gives no license for turning away from what he has called them to do, or twisting away from the things that he has told them to do, or turning or twisting his word. If a person, a town, or governments, or the entire world reject the word of God, the true commandment from God gives instructions to his people, to we that are the church. If someone leaves the church, we're to shake off the dust of our feet, our sandals. Matthew 10:14. If people don't receive what the pastor is saying, and I'm a pastor and I have to reprove and rebuke and to edify people. Matthew 10:14. Does anyone have that? Read it then.
And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet.
To turn the other cheek and deliver your soul to someone else. Because when I'm preaching the gospel, I'm delivering the word of God to you with all my heart, my soul, and my strength. And I'm doing it that God may be glorified, not myself. Because, as I said, I'm sure I'm disappointing some of you because I'm not preaching a gospel that you like. I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which you, many of you, obviously hate. Quote, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. In other words, you know that God does not like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Elsewise, he would have never poured out his wrath on them, fire and brimstone. So it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city, that town, that state, that country, the whole world. That's Mark 6:11. Okay, does somebody have that? Mark 6:11. Read it.
And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
So you mean that God will be more tolerable to homosexuals than for those people that will not follow the instructions and take their place in the body of Christ that God is calling them into? Because you're rejecting service unto the Lord and turning around, I just can't take it no more. Well, then God won't take you anymore. Okay? You're naming your own poison, as we used to say in Montana. Maybe they still do. For today, we have the New Testament. Back then, all they had was the Old Testament. There was no New Testament back then. It was just the Old Testament. This is the one that Jesus kept quoting from, and the disciples as well. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, for today, we have the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. The wholeness of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation shows a most complete, masterful, and exquisite painting of Jesus and his purpose for himself and ourselves as well. In other words, his purpose, or in other words, his mission. A complete and masterful portrait which exhibits infinite evil and ugliness is to be found, too, also by the seeker of Satan, his church, and his purposes or mission. His prison house for lost souls of men. The over 100 prophecies of Christ coming to earth to save mankind from Satan's eternal everlasting hell can be found by anyone searching for scripture regarding that. Christ knew the redemptive plan. Well, he had his father developed it and agreed at their beginning. No alternative for it. So, yeah, there's over 100 scriptures telling of the Lord's coming. There's actually, I found 333 of them. All right?
Yes,
of his coming. And he fulfilled all of them just exactly as the Old Testament said he would when he fulfilled them in the New. God's word is Christ. His word, Christ, created all things in heaven and on earth, including heaven itself, the very earth that we live on today, and all humans have lived on in the past, and will live on until the end in the future. And he also made the seas, all seven of them. He also created man and blew the breath of life into his nostrils. He made man only men and women, living souls. And God's word said, quote, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, unquote. But the name of Jesus, amen?
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. Acts 4:12. The Savior's name is Jesus. So let's read Acts 4:12. Go ahead.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Then go one more.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, for they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Right, because they were so bold, and everybody knew that they would never leave their position. They would never get so ticked off that they would leave their position. There wouldn't be anyone that would be unkind to them that would cause them to pack up their bags and leave. There wouldn't be anything that could be said because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. When Jesus offended a bunch of unbelievers by saying that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, they were offended at him and they walked with him no more. So the Lord asked Peter, he says, will you also leave? And he says, where else can we go, Lord? Only you have the words of life. And my soul doesn't want to burn in hell. And even though I may be disappointed in what you say or do, I have been disappointed, because I didn't realize that. And David, the psalmist, said, I didn't realize that that was really the Lord. Then I found out that, well, I just blindly did it, though. Like Susie, my late wife, told me to raise my hand up in a park and say, I am a born again of the Spirit Jew, washed in the blood of Jesus. And a whole bunch of them, several hundred of them, came running from all over the park. The whole park emptied out right over to where we were. And they were shaking their hand fists at me and saying, you're not a Jew. Because if you were a Jew, how could you be saying something like that? That you're a Jew washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, I am a Jew. And they said, say the name Moses in Hebrew. I said, Moisha. And so my voice is so deep that they didn't, they couldn't even hear it because the high pitch of the voices. And so I grabbed Susie and I put her in front because she has a very loud, powerful, screechy voice. Not like Mariah Carey. She has a loud voice, too, able to go over that whole orchestra and choir. But Susie was able to go over the din of the crowd. And she told them to Makshfag Mashig. And that immediately quieted them because that means, shut up, you crazy people, you Mashigana. Okay? Isn't that what that means? Shut up, you mashig.
Yes.
You nuts. And they said, Machfag mashig. Machfag mashig. Machfag mashig. She must be Jewish. And so she preached a message that would raise the hair on the back of your head. I was just a baby Christian at the time. So, the Savior's name is Jesus, and he was born and died on the exact days on which the prophet Daniel stated that he, the Messiah, the Savior, would be born and would die. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, where the true Savior must be born, just as the prophet said, as prophesied. He was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit in much the same way that a true born of the Spirit, a true born again Christian, receives Christ by the Holy Spirit when he, Jesus, is invited into a person's heart. Sin stains are washed away immediately when one, by faith, a person by faith, believes without any doubt that God's redemptive plan, the soul-cleansing blood from the Redeemer's veins, is sufficient to blot every sin that they've ever committed in their lives out of their bodies, off of their soul, no matter how vile or filthy the sin may be. Glorious redemptive plan, glorious Redeemer, be to set men's souls free from Satan's prison house. Quote, and ye, now this will be John 8:32, somebody find it, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth is Jesus, and the truth, Jesus, shall make you free. So read John 8:32.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Oh, the joy. The joy, praise the Lord, of sins forgiven. Oh, the joy that not only are taken away, but that only the blood washed now. This powerful message is found to be still very much alive in the ancient, yet they present word that is alive yesterday, today, and forever. Because Jesus died once, but he's alive now, the yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. The same, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He was alive, and now he was dead. He died for our sins. And then he raised from the dead, he was resurrected, and he is alive now and forevermore. He's not going to die again for anybody. Okay, read Hebrews 13:8.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Okay, in the King James Version of the Bible, and this is not, I say not, tampered with, not to be twisted or turned, not to be despised, but to do what the Word says. The Word of God is living waters to the soul of men and women. Jesus said, quote, and you can look this up, this is John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Untwisted, unturned word of God. John 15:3.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Not even slightly twisted. We're not able to even twist it slightly. Nor even are we to slightly turn the word of God. But the strictest living cleansing word of God within in the Holy Spirit, from heaven, and in the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, cleanses out from the human soul false doctrines. And you know, it's a false doctrine if you say that someone is disappointed in the church and that you have the right to leave. No. But if somebody continues, the Bible tells me, and anyone else if you care to study it, that if somebody is doing something wrong in the church, and that I tell them that they're doing wrong and show them in the Word of God that they're doing wrong, and they still say, well, we still believe that we should leave, then let them leave. Shake the dust of your feet off at them and get them out of there because they're worthless. Actually, what they would be is a hindrance in the house of God. The Word of God cleans our souls from the human soul or false doctrine. The living and untwisted Word cleanses out all hatred and all violence that is due to false judgment that are placed in man's mind and heart by false teachings. At this church, you're not going to receive any false teachings because I've got scriptures and verses to back me up. Amen?
Amen.
From Satan's work. So if the Word of God offends you, it's happening more and more. You know, different people in the church say, I don't like it here. Can I move here? Well, I don't like this. And well, if you don't like it, the Lord tells you to leave. We're not even supposed to say to you, Godspeed. You disappoint me and the people in the church, but you would be far more disappointing to us and the Lord if we allowed you to stay, because your mission is not to do good works of the Lord, but your mission is to undermine the church and make people believe that there's no strong leader in this church and that you should just continue on in your evil works in the church. And the Lord says for you to be dispensed out of the church. And so we do that even though we are sad. But we're not sad that you're gone because you are a detriment to the church. You're not going to bring your false doctrine or your lies into my church. There's a lot of churches like that in the world today. But Susie, my late wife, and myself determined in our minds to have a church that is really of the Lord on earth today. And that to hell with all the others. Mm-hmm. If they want to do their own will. And there's some people that like to give Susie and myself dirty looks, and they've got a chip on their shoulder about something that we taught them from the Word of God or something that they've misunderstood. And so we just tell them, you know, take your grievance someplace else. Undermine somebody else's church. Okay, so go to the Pope. They're full of false doctrines and heresy, so go over there and help out with that sort of stuff there. But you're not going to do it here. So these are false teachings from Satan's works, his church and governments, the false doctrines of lethargy. Lord didn't call us to come and sit. He called us to work. Amen?
Amen.
Work. And he's going to judge us by all of our works in the last day. And inconsistencies. Sometimes you're up, the next day you're down, some day you're smiling and friendly with everybody, and the next day you're full of poison and venom. And these inconsistencies must be cleansed from ourselves. The Lord's untwisted, unturned living waters tells us that God hates these things. He hates the devil, in case you didn't know it. And if you're a child of the devil, he hates you too. The word plainly states that. The devil's church, He hates the devil's church and the devil's unrepentant children, which would be you if you didn't follow the word of God. The devil's unrepentant children are all those who hate God's strict, untwisted, unturned word, the pure living waters from God's holy throne in heaven. The holy living waters, the untwisted and the unturned Word of God. The true Word of God states that all who believe not His Word, strict, untwisted, and unturned, shall be damned. But all those who do believe, and not only believe, but continue in good works, not no works, or be sitting listening to Satan, and somebody hurts your feelings, or disappointed you, and you're just boiling all day and all night. You're not to do that. You're to put your mind on the Lord. But all those who do believe and are baptized, they're saved. Here is a direct quote from the strict word of Jesus when talking to his disciples. Do you want to hear what they are?
Yes.
You really do?
Yes.
Okay. You want to receive it, Drew?
Yes.
Those who believed and follow him, quote, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now you can find this in Mark 16:16. Is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This is the words of Jesus, unquote. You want to read it out of the Bible so people don't think that I made this up?
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Mark 16:16. Jesus stated that he hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, that is, the idolaters, those that put their feelings, their feelings are an idol, their disappointments are an idol. Remember, Jesus was disappointed with everybody in the world. And he didn't fall away, but he was obedient to the Lord, the Father, right up to the death of the cross. He hated and despised the shame of the cross. He was nailed to the cross, bare naked, but he did it. So he just turned his back on the shame and just went through it. And, you know, our souls are naked and open unto the Lord. And we have to stand judgment before him. And so it's very important for us to have a good attitude about the Word of God, to look into his soul and let him look into our soul and make sure when something starts hurting our little pea-picking hearts that we reject it immediately, because it's somebody that wants to destroy your soul. He doesn't love your soul at all. Satan doesn't love your soul. Your feelings don't love your soul. Your emotions don't love your soul. Do they?
No.
No. They love Satan. And so you have to reprove and rebuke the devil. So the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the idolaters, and here is the untwisted, unturned, scripture, the Word of God, regarding this strictness. You want to hear about the strictness of God?
Yes.
Okay. Well, why? Don't you know that it's going to disappoint you? Your flesh? Your damnable flesh? Quote, here it is then. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, that's unscriptural, false Christians, like Catholics, and Episcopalians and others that say once saved, always saved, they're liars because they're all idolaters. Which thing I, Jesus said, I hate. Revelations 2:15, read it. Revelations 2:1-5, chapter 2, verse 15.
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
Jesus hates false twisting and turning of his tricked word, as well as fallacies that don't appear in his word, or false religions and idolatry that God calls unsound doctrine. The Apostle Paul warns us not to receive the doctrine from angels from heaven or from anyone. But we are instructed by Paul instead to read and receive only the exact strict word of God. Here are the exact strict untwisted unturned words from the Jewish Saint Paul the Apostle. Quote, but though we, the holy apostles he's talking about, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have. Then what? Then we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8. And you have to look that up to run out of time. The Apostle Paul also stated, quote, preach the word, strict, untwisted, and unturned word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. The Apostle Paul continues, quote, for the time will come, this is the last days, right now, in other words, when they will not endure sound doctrine. You will not endure it. But the word of God, as it is strictly written by the Holy Spirit from the throne of God, with no twisting or turning at all. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, unquote, false teachers and preachers, incorrect, unscriptural, religious, and false Christians. And the Lord tells us to be warned against false Christians, false pastors that hate the true word of God and God's children. 2 Timothy 4:3. My time is up, and so this is the time that I pray people through so that you can receive the true word of God, which is Christ, into your heart and become new creatures. And this is the way it's done. Just repeat after me this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus, that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood of Jesus. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. Now thank the Lord. Give him all the glory for saving your only one eternal, everlasting soul. And keep praising him. So share and tell him how to receive a copy of this program, number 507. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Now here's my very favorite orchestra of Stan Kenton to play for you, We Three Kings.